Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello, Lucien, you ready?
Yeah, since music wasn't playing for over a minute, I thought maybe we should just start the show. So hello, Phil, hello, Naomi, and hello, everyone.
It's pretty crazy. I couldn't hear anything, so I didn't know if it was me or not.
I was on mute. I just noticed I was on mute, so I don't know if it was playing or not.
I hear that. No, it was. I thought it was me. So, hello everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and a Twisted Mister or two. I want to start out by welcoming Naomi aboard. She is now one of the Twisted Sisters. It's official. She can write it on her resume. She's a Twisted Sister. Yeah.
Glad you could be here, Naomi.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you. And I look forward to the future endeavors that we all take on, because it should be interesting. So after that minute or so of awkward silence, that kind of burns my behind. I had that all set up. I really did. I had it all set up. I'm going to hit a button. Uh-huh. For the hell.
I totally believe you. Sometimes flukes like that just happen. And honestly, I kept after 30 seconds, I started considering maybe it's not going to work tonight. And I kept waiting. And then when it hit about 1 minute and 15 seconds, I thought, okay, we're obviously not going to have an intro song tonight.
Yeah, what is up with that? But hang on, because I'm going to hit the button just to see. Listen, man.
Oh, there it is now.
Anyway, I just try to prove to myself that I had it there. Anyway, and the reason I chose that, well, first off, I had no idea what to choose for an intro song tonight. I'm not even going to lie. But I chose that one because Pam and Naomi and I were talking the other day, and Pam said something about see whose birthday it is for Tuesday. And I went, yeah, that's a good idea. And I went over and I looked, and I was looking at all the choices. So all three of the people I grabbed quotes from, all three of them have a birthday today. So that's how I chose the three people. And then I grabbed quotes from each of them. So since my creativity was null on trying to figure out something else or better to play, I thought that would work. So happy birthday, you guys. And, you know, yeah.
There you go. Well, I have to say, great choices in quotes there, Gene. And, you know, I'm so glad people were inspired. So it looks like we have a great lineup of poetry.
Absolutely. I was happy to see we had, poems coming in real quick on that, because it's always, I don't know, for anyone who puts up a contest, I mean, it makes people feel good when it takes off and runs, you know. It's always great. So, I don't know where we're going to start, but I think I guess I'll have you check the phone lines, Pam, and then we'll...
All right. Well, we have Laurent with us. So welcome,
hello.
Laurent. Glad you could join us.
I woke up 3 minutes ago, so go easy on me.
All right. We'll be gentle. All right.
I love it.
And we also have Cal, I think.
Hello, Cal.
Or Adam, one of the two.
Yeah, that's who it is. Yep.
Oh, you know
what? Oh, hey, Adam. Glad you could join us.
Hi, Adam. Sorry.
Hello, hello.
My bad. Ah, well, welcome aboard. That's where we're going to start. But they always say when you don't know where to start, you start at the top of the list, right? So I think that sounds like a winner.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Right. Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to do that. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I don't know. You know.
We're supposed to talk to you. You're not supposed to talk to you.
Oh, no. It, trust me, it's much more entertaining if I talk to me because you all say, wow, what the hell's wrong with her? And I give you all something to talk about away from me. See, I know you. Okay.
Boy, look, we're mixing it all up there. He just woke up.
Well, you know, sometimes he just needs to, he needs a wake-up call. Okay, here we go. I don't know where I'm going to go from here out, but for right now, Pam, I'm going to have you kick us off with Julie Buck, okay? And Julie Buck pulled a fast one on me on this time.
All right. Sounds like a good plan. And let me go ahead. And this is The Shore of Time's Breeze by Julie Buck. And it goes like this. A young man's eyes, what sees 21 years? Do I even care that the world is my oyster or they call me? But can't a pleasing piece of shell equally satisfy? Do I even care that mothers are warm and wars are cold and I've no strength left? What means 21 years when before even knowing I am lost, I am told to find myself? At what cost do I accept society's guilt and smeared promises of my vast potential? May I just sit and share the shore of time's breeze? May I simply exist at ease with thoughts to explore without being deemed lazy? This pedestal of manhood overrated, be a man, make good decisions. I'm sick of wearing defensive smiles and worn shoes from forced firm footing of being confession with nary a sin in these bones. Sometimes the devil listens when no one else does. What matters? What the world has faded. Gold, God, gold, all amply valued perhaps, but there still lies much beauty in accepting metal plated. Choose to go for the brass ring and maybe higher at your own time. That's cool. Remember, though, those not so cool consequences. Let's just say making mistakes is a very necessary and a very human rite of passage. Are you on mute, Dean?
I never heard you say end poem. So.
Okay.
So I'm sitting here like trying to catch up and see if you actually ended the poem. Okay, this is going to be one of those nights. I can feel it. I can feel it.
Oh, man.
Here we go. Okay, Naomi, you want to start off the comments on this piece? Wow.
Well, I read this poem earlier, and I thought it was so well written. What a deep, insightful write. I just love how she incorporated the phrase, the world is your oyster, and then went through the questions and process of thought that run this young person in this life, Lovely in general, and to reflect so very well the thoughts of most 20-year-olds so brilliantly. And I think it is awesome how she ended it with a warning to the consequences taken throughout life and the affirmation that mistakes are part of life and are inevitable to one's growth. And it's so well worded throughout. So bravo, Julian. Amazing, amazing, right? And you know, I don't know about other places, but here in Quebec, young people here in our society are changing the way society is looking, especially in the work field, it's them that are finally deciding, you know, at their rhythm and their time. Family and their own time goes first and work goes after. Whereas our generation mostly live to work. Well, then they live, you know, before they work. And that's changing everything here right now. So, and this is a, anyway, I just wanted to, that just made me think of that. So this is a magnificent ride here. Makes me really think.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm done now.
Great moment. Wise guy. Oh, my God. Okay. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, Julie's writing in a male voice this time around, which I kind of like. She writes about young people, a young man who hits 21 and doesn't really know where he wants to go, what he wants to do. I'm lost. I'm told to find myself. At what cost do I accept society's guilt and smeared promises of my vast potential? And the question is asked. May I simply exist at ease with thoughts to explore without being lazy? And, you know, that's an attitude that I can understand. Very relatable. Like, you have a lot of time to thought. It speaks of goals. Gold, God, goals, all amply valued. But there still lies much beauty in accepting metal-plated. I think the point she's trying to get to is, you don't have to hurry to be a fantastic success too early. Take your time. Enjoy life. Don't be accused of being a failure. And when you make mistakes, hey, you know, it's a very necessary and a very human rite of passage. So I enjoyed it a great deal.
Nice. Nice comment. Adam, how about you?
I'm right there with him. It was a great commentary. It was very deep. It was, you know, a lot of slight bits of humor, which are great, and wit, which go, you know, harkens to Mark Twain's just overall perspective on things. You know, he was always coming out of left field and hitting people where they didn't want to be hit. And Julie does this too in her writing. Like, even before, like, I was going to enter this contest until I saw the only quote I wanted to do, Julie did. I was like, nope, I'm not going to touch it. Because she's amazing. Like, her writing is spectacular. She can hit you with so much. She reminds me of a very intelligent, like, beatnik. I said this before, like, when reading her writing. She's just so smooth and funny and witty, but also can hit you really hard and deep, too. And just like what everybody said is definitely reiterated with these questions, you know, of what is success? What is life? What is, you know, can't the shell be just as valuable as the oyster? Why do we put such value on frivolous things when they just pass away? And what's more important is the experience of life therein, as she says, as Mark Twain said, you got to make the mistakes before you can even make the good decisions. So make your mistakes and learn from them. Don't be held, you know, back by falling into the failure and not getting back up. It was awesome. It was amazing. I loved it.
Nice comment.
Probably my favorite.
There you go. That's a good thing. And Pam, I'm going to come back to you. You know, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I always enjoy Julie's poetry, and I thought she did a great job of showing the kind of attitude of just, you know, wanting to enjoy the moment of life. I am lost. I am told to find myself. It always feels like, and I really like, may I simply exist at ease with thoughts to explore without being deemed lazy. So just a really great write all the way through and very well done.
Nice. Nice comment. And I see we have Kel on the line. Hi, Kel. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Kel. Hi, Pam. I'm Tammy and Adam and
Howdy.
Rex and Laurent and who else?
Oh, Rex is lurking, huh?
Well, no, Rex isn't here yet, but he will, I'm sure. At least I hope. Yeah, so did you happen to hear the poem, Kel?
I didn't hear it, but I did read it while I was waiting, while I was listening to everybody comment. I think it's for her age. It says she's 21. What means 21 when before even knowing I am lost, I am told to find myself? At what cost do I accept society's guilt and smeared promises of my vast potential? For her age, this is glorious work. It really is. She's got so much thought and emotion in it that it's just really stunning piece of work. I really like it.
Nice comment. Nice comment. Julie, excellent piece. I thought it was well written, well expressed, and I thought it was a great take on the prompt. And your take on the prompt behind the scenes was excellent, I have to tell you. I kind of thought about that a few times, but I wanted to say to you, that was, you had me going. And I liked it. Only Pam understands. It's all right. Okay, let's see what I have. Naomi, I have one up for you, if you do not mind. By Mamia.
Okay.
Awesome.
Sitting there, the elixir of life. Okay. The elixir of life by Mamia. The elixir of life, an alchemist's wet dream, the philosopher's song, pale in comparison. But what's this? Such wonder only be found in an apothecary shelf? Aloe, 13 grams, rhubarb, 2.3 grams, gentian, 2.3 grams, zedoary, 2.3 grams, Spanish saffron, 2.3 grams, water, 4 ounces, grain alcohol, 12 ounces. Extract the liquid from the alloys and set aside, grind the rhubarb, gentian, zedoary, and saffron to powder. Combine all the liquid elements, then add all the powders. Let the mixture sit for 3 days, shaking it frequently. Then strain it to a cheesecloth before serving. 'Tis true, this is the elixir to long life, but it shall not guarantee youth. Youth is but a fleeting thing of impermanent beauty we oft take for granted. We waste our time on things of no consequence, and soon enough we are old and frail, just doddering fools, afraid of death, Skype, longing for times gone by, for our fields of glory that never come and will never come. End poem.
Nice job, Naomi. Nice job. Let's see. Laurent, want to start us off on this one? Laurent?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. There's a certain fatalism in this, especially at the end, which, you know, it made me laugh. Our fields of glory that never came and will never come. But at the same time, it made me sad that someone should have that, that perception of life. But having said that, that's a very intriguing drink that we've been given. And I think the whole point is, you know, I'm going to drink because, goddammit, I'm going to die soon anyhow, and I'm not going to be sitting there thinking about all the things that we did or didn't do and regrets and whatnot. Nope. All to the glory right now. The elixir to long life. it's very tongue-in-cheek until you get to the end. And then it's kind of, you know, I mean, I understand. I wrote the same quote that Memnon did, but I would be a little more positive, perhaps. But she makes her point. She makes it skillfully. And I can't argue with it.
Nice comment. Just so you know, that recipe within that poem.
This is what I'm going for.
It's actually found at a dig site. I know it's from a dig site at 50 Bowery, Lower East Side. I don't know where exactly that is, but 19th century recipe. So kind of intriguing. That was pretty unique.
Yeah, I was really wondering about that.
Yeah. Okay, Adam, you want to comment next, please?
Yeah, it was a great take. I loved how she used an elixir, like Fountain of Youth sort of kind of approach at that. It was I was kind of unexpected to me. I don't necessarily know that I would have went that way with the quote. So I thought it was awesome. Like, it was a unique take on it. And then, like, dive into the recipe, kind of like, it's very precise. And it's like, it also made me reminiscent, like, of when people that have lived a long life, like the centurion types, when they tell you, like, everyone's like, what's your secret, you know, on the news in an interview, whatever. And it's always different. It's either, it's like, I lived with love, I laughed a lot, I did what I wanted. I mean, I lived a good life, or I was a good person. It's always so different. You know, I mean, George Burns lived so long, and he drank and smoked every day of his life. And it's never like, you know, that's, to me, it just reminds me of the sun and the rain fall on the wicked and the righteous alike. And just that general sense, that doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't. It doesn't matter. Your time is your time. You can't evade the scythe, as she says. So eloquent, you know, it's going to come. And so also to what our fellow guy here, poet, said, just, you know, try to have a good time while you can. Because it's a ride. And, you know, I think the thing is not about the length of the ride, but the quality of it. And just, because it is fleeting. It is fleeting. It's over before you know it. The older you get, the faster it runs away from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good comment. And Cal, how about you?
I'm sitting here nodding my head. Yes, yes, yes. Great comment, Adam. Oh, golly. Believe me, yeah, I'm getting there. It just goes faster every day. But I totally agree. I like the recipe. That was really awesome and a really different and clever way to, you know, to write, you know, about this special elixir that's supposed to, you know, help you live a long life or keep from aging or whatever it's supposed to do. I thought that was very, very interesting. I also, you know, agree that in the end, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, you know, your life is going to go no matter what. You're not going to, you know, live forever no matter what elixir you try, you know, and I thought this was a really excellent piece.
Nice comment there. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, I smiled through the whole thing. The recipe is just so witty, like Cal said, they're putting that in there. And with all, you know, the instructions on how to make it up, just so witty. And then to finish it off with that such words of deep wisdom there at the end, you know, it makes the recipe stand out and even be more funny. So, yeah, this is an excellent rice by Mamia there. I just love the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, it was a great comment. I think that Mamia did a great job with the side, but it was very clever and quite unique. And I said the clever in the respect that she incorporated that recipe into that rice. And, you know, made it, brought it to light and worked around it and made her points surrounding that. And I thought it was clever, clever take on it. So nice work, Christine. Thank you. Okay, Laurent, that brings me to you.
All right.
And Danielle DeShino.
Quick refresh. There it is. This is called God's Message by Danielle DeShino. How beautiful is morning's sweet embrace, the gentle touch of sunlight to awaken the world with warmth and color. I breathe the day's first breath and watch the curtains grow brighter with each minute, creating curiosity of what lies beyond. Impossible to comprehend may be the heavenly and the eternal. Impossible to not wonder if the renewal of sleep is not a message from God to start us off each day, those first few precious moments of calm and peace. Yesterday's sorrow, forgotten in dream. Future anxiety, yet to be released from its cage. Mind clear and pure, open to the endless possibilities of what awaits. Every day, the message is clear. Today, I will listen. End poem.
Nice read. Nice read. And Adam, that brings me to you for our first comment.
Okay, yeah. So I was trying to find the quote, right? And I got to it because it wasn't, like, included, like, on the body of it at all, you know what I mean? Just that it was prompt three. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to read that to have like a, but it was already pretty clear, you know. So just make the best of life as it comes, and I mean it's pretty, just very soft and delicately done. It was very well done. I enjoy his writing. I've heard, you know, I'm familiar with one piece from another time, and it was amazing and along the same lines as his style. And it's good. It's very, you know.
Just so you know, Adam, I'll tell you the quote. It was, give every day the chance to become the most beautiful day of your life.
Right, yeah, I'm reading it right now. Yeah, it was the other Mark Twain. I'm on my computer. I got like 4, 5, 6 browsers open trying to like go between the various things I can do on AP while also listening to the radio show. But yeah, it's a good stance. It's actually one of... Not really one of his, so Mark Twain's more wittier kind of things, but it's from the heart, and that's what I liked about it, the simplicity of the heart, because it is, live every day as your last. That's all I got to say about it.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, great comment. And Cal, how about you?
Oh, this is very touching and spiritual. I really like this, yesterday's sorrow, forgotten in dream, future anxiety yet to be released from its cage, the mind clear and pure, open to the endless possibilities of what awaits. I mean, that in itself is an absolutely beautiful stanza or verse. It's just very eloquent, and it comes to the point, and it's just really amazing writing.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I thought it was a great piece myself. Nice comment. And that will bring me to Naomi. How about you?
It's such a eloquently written piece. It just flows. It's just beautiful, and I think it uplifted me. It has this way about it, this uplifting, and like Al said, it's very spiritual and so well worded. There's hope that runs through every line in this piece. I feel, and I love them. With the lines, the mind clear and pure, open to the endless possibilities of what awaits. So I just thought this was a superb right here by Daniel. Bravo,
nice.
Well done.
Nice comment. And Laurent, how about you?
I think we all have the opportunity to choose what kind of day we're going to have by taking advantage of what's in this particular poem, the piece of a morning. I mean, Twain's comment, his quote seems a little self-evident, but it's like so many aphorisms that, you know, we hear, just common sense advice, but how often do we follow it? You know, sometimes not at all. So you have the opportunity to decide what the tenor of the day is going to be. If you begin by kicking the dog, cutting yourself shaving, and yelling at the people in the house, you're going to have a terrible day. But if you smile,
that's
divinely,
for me.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. I agree with the premise of the poem, and if we give ourselves a chance, today I will listen, as the poet says. Nicely done.
Absolutely. That's a great comment. I thought it was a great piece by Dan. You know, Dan's work is has a common thread, I think, throughout it. And I think he it was a wonderful expression of his thoughts. And I think it was well suited to the quote. So great job, Dan. Thank you very much. Now, Adam, that brings me to you. So
all right, what am I reading?
Run away.
Yes, I butchered things so awfully. The last time I read it was, thank you for a short one. Thank God. Thank you. That spared me. That definitely spared me. Oh, my goodness.
Fine.
Is it okay if I kind of mix it up? I just want to read the prompt first. Would that be all right? Or should I read the... I'm just asking. I don't know. I can follow
the prompt and then read the poem.
Okay.
Fine,
so they go through the Jonathan Swift quote, I believe. Wait a minute. It says prompt one. Never mind. It's prompt one. It's still Jonathan Swift. Vision is the art of seeing things invisible. That has a nice alliteration or what is the word for sound similarity?
Yeah, alliteration.
Okay, yeah, it has the sound similarity. That's a beautiful quote. Anyway, so the poem here is visionary. The world is full of people, helpful, generous, and kind. The sky is clear and the air is fresh. The stars shine. With the moon side by side, animals are happy, trees are healthy, nobody is hungry, and no one is angry. Music is melodious. Songs are cheerful, and we all dance together. There's no stress, no hurry. You may call me a fool. I say, I'm a visionary. End poem.
Nicely read. Nice job. And that will bring me to Kel. You want to start us off?
I'm sorry, I missed it. I was talking to my son.
Okay, no problem. Pam, how about you? You want to comment on this one? It looks like Pam's not sitting right there. So let me go to Naomi.
I just love this piece. Indeed, we all hope for such a perfect world where everybody is happy and thriving, and the earth is surrounded with pure, fresh air and melodious, happy music, and like she describes or he describes in this poem. And this is just an awesome right. Made me smile all through. It just makes you happy. And I love the, you know, you may call me a fool. I say I'm a visionary. I love that ending. Oh, great job. Sir.
Nice comment, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, this kind of touches on the last poem a little bit, doesn't it? If you choose to see people as generous, they're generous. Now, if you take the time to appreciate the clean air and the stars at night, and you're going to appreciate them the more for paying attention to them. Now, she sees the possibilities in everything, which is really wonderful. Nobody's hungry. No one is angry. Music is melodious. Songs are cheerful. And we're all dancing. To have that much optimism is a real blessing. Not many people can view life like that, but it will make you your life a whole lot happier. So she definitely fulfilled the quote.
Right. Nice comment. Nice comment. And let's see now. That brings me back to you, Adam.
All right. So I'll try to, like, say this as quickly as I can. Because I felt something different, kind of. So her take on it is amazing, and that happiness, that exuberant, like, it's because we do not pay attention to these simple things that are all around us every day, and to be grateful for this, you know, to have gratitude for these, because we get so blasé about this commonality of these things we do every day, when really they're all blessings, flipping a light switch, water turning on in your faucet, so on and so forth. Like, that is the invisible, but it's right there in your face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every day. And when you have it so readily available, you take it for granted. And, you know, and she was pointing that out, to turn that invisible visible. But also she is saying, like, we can have this perfect world too, if you know, like, so also there was the visionary aspect of coming at the world for, if you see how good it is, then it is, it's the world is your perception, so it is as you make it. Every person, you know, we just happen to start grouping together and feeling a way together about certain things, when it's really as you see it is the way the world is, because the same thing can happen to 100 people and they have 100 different experiences. So, I mean, I loved it. It was cool.
Well, look at this. I put up 6 quotes, and not 2 people really attacked it from the same perspective yet. You know, that everybody could look at one quote and have their own take on it. So it's true with that as well. But I thought it was a great poem. I thought that he really captured the essence of the prompt nicely. And it was well done and well stated. So, thank you very much, Costas Lagos. And some great treats. Let me see. Kel, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I have the next one up for you. There we go.
Okay. Others by Hikon 7. They pass in front of me. One by one, I don't know at what time each of them lived from his own age. Find your soul in the evasive minutes at dawn, when the cold winter evenings turn into the day. Shadows come and go from the opposite sidewalk. Each of them lives at a separate time with your own. I can think of dreams like a love story that travels in a time of no return. He lives in the shadows, revived by walking memories, silent inhabitants of lonely times. I am writing for vision is the art of seeing things invisible. Jonathan Swift. End poem.
Nice read, Cal. And Naomi, how about you? You want to start this one off?
I love the way he came at, he attacked this prompt almost in a, like a metaphorical imagery here. And he, I commented and he said, in fact, this was a description made for beings in a dimension very different from the thoughts of people we do not know. So that was his response to my comment. And I wrote to him that this is a very insightful glimpse of what you may think that runs through a stranger's mind, you know, when you meet them in every day. And this is just an amazing write here, Mustafa. And I really, really enjoyed it. And thank you for sharing this. Just amazing write. Amazing take. Amazing and unique take on the prompt here. Very clever.
Nice comment. Nice comment. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, with the reference that Naomi just made to what Hakan said, I can kind of see that they pass in front of me one by one. I immediately thought, who they? I don't know at what time each of them lived from his own age. Shadows come and go from the opposite sidewalk. Each of them lives at a separate time with your own. It's almost as if There are many dimensions side by side. There's a little bit of bleed over from one dimension to the other. You see glimpses of people living in different times. Taken from that point of view, I find it very intriguing.
Nice, Lisa. And Adam, I bet you.
Right. So without the context of a dimensional beings, some dimensional beings of like other. So, I mean, the rite itself is very cool. Like the imagery, like Naomi said, it was really cool. But like my own personal interpretation, not knowing the context outside of the prompt, right, was that it was like homeless people. I thought it was others, as in the undesirable, the unknowns, or as Naomi said, strangers.
Yeah.
But I thought more like the lost, the homelessness, like, because you really don't know, and they are so like out of tune, out of place comparatively to everyone else. They almost seem like they live in another dimension or state or country, because they have their own rules and ways of living and code of ethics and so on and so forth. But that's how I took it. I thought it was more like homelessness and something of that. But that was cool to realize, oh, this is dimensional beings, which is cool tying into the whole, like, you can see what it is not seen. Because, you know, you ever get that feeling, like, I'm kind of seeing something here, but I'm not sure what it is. Kind of like Neo kind of seeing the Matrix, but he doesn't really see it yet. I feel like that about life sometimes. Sometimes there's this invisible layer or film over things, and there's just more to it where our simple human minds cannot penetrate into it.
I think a lot of times we don't necessarily look any deeper than we have to. We see
we're lazy.
And we keep walking, you know, whereas we're not digging in and going, oh, wait a minute, let me look a little deeper here and find out what's really happening. You know, there's a lot of us that are guilty of that, you know. But I'm with you. I thought the same thing when I read this, and I find his response to Naomi pretty intriguing, but definitely a well-done piece. So.
Oh, yeah.
Nice comment. And Kel, how about you?
Well, I have another take on it. I think both of yours, Adams and Lawrence, were both very interesting and feasible with the way he wrote this. But I was thinking also something that I tell my granddaughters, because, you know, when they're young, they don't see that other people have lives that go on. And, you know, even when they're out of sight, you know, it's like, Grandma's still here. I'm always here. I'm doing something. Even when you're at school or you're in bed or whatever, I'm still here doing my own thing. Your mom is doing her thing. And we all still exist in the same space and time, even when you can't see us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I get from it.
Right. No, it's another great take on it. That was a nice piece, really written, whereas, you know, so many interpretations can be drawn from it. So, nice job, Hakan. And let me see now. Okay. What did I do? Oh, the next one I have is a SoundCloud. That's why I'm sitting here seeming silly. Wow. I'm telling you, I'm on the ball here. Okay, next one is by Martha Yep. So let me put this one, we'll hit the button so we can all hear it. Here we go.
Let's set the day on fire. I'm not the kind to wait around. I don't let the bad times slow me down. So if you're thinking I'm going to be waiting here, that's not me, because I live for today, and I go my own way. But if you want me to stay for a while, we could share a few smiles. Come on, we could set the day on fire. We could light it up in burning desire. Life is what you make of it, you see. So let's make it good for you and me. But while I'm here, let's have some fun. Spend a beautiful day out in the sun. Come on, baby, you have a lot to learn. Let's set the day on fire and step back and watch it burn. Come on, we could set the day on fire. We can light it up in burning desire. Life is what you make of it, you see. So let's make it good for you and me. Because, baby, I'm just passing through. Here to spend some good times with you. So don't be thinking we're going to last. You know I'll soon be part of your past.
Well, how about that one? Okay, thank you, Martha. And let me see now. Okay, I think that brings me to Naomi for the first comment. So if you would not mind, Ms. Naomi.
Yes. Well, I thought this was an amazing poem of empowerment and bravo, Martha. I love the attitude, and boy, she has this sassiness throughout this right. And I love song. Yeah, she's a little sassy Martha. And that, you see that in that first stanza, now I'm not the kind to wait around. I don't let the bad times slow me down. So if you think I'm going to be waiting here, huh, that's not me. Yes, yeah, so she brought in the sassy into this, and the empowerment of herself into this song. I just love that. So bravo, Martha. Good, great job. Great song.
And Laurent, how about you?
It's funny how things have kind of turned around. The guy had written this. Everybody'd be pointing at him and accusing him of being a sexist. But
so true. So true.
It is true.
Yeah. She's basically nutshell the entire poem in the last stanza. It's passing through. Here to spend some good times with you. So don't be thinking we're going to last. You know I'll soon be part of your past. So many times in life we meet someone we want to have a good time with, but we don't want a permanent relationship. And here's a gal who's ready to kick her heels up, have a good time, go the distance, and move on. And I do like that attitude.
I do too.
Nice, nice comment. And then Adam, how about you?
I know, you know I'm always chomping at the bit. I can't help myself. So I love it. I love she's got that classic country style. I mean, instant rhythm. She could definitely sell songs if she doesn't already. To anyways. And it just, she tells a narrative, tells a story. She cinches it up really nice. But what I love is that you can, her voice is so strong, right? That writer's voice of hers is distinct and it's strong. And it always comes through in her writing. I love it because I was, when I was in school, like college, they told me, like, it's not something everybody has. Even good writers look for their voice sometimes and can't find it, meandering about how do I, and some writers have voice, some have a weaker voice, but still have it. Some have none, but they have talent. And it's just one of those things, man, you can't really learn it. It's a skill that's all into its own. And she has it, and, like, immediately, right away, you can tell, like, she's got age and experience. She knows what she wants. She knows what she's going to get. And if you're just in the wake of her living her life, you can come along the road with the ride, live it with her. She'll teach you how it's done. And I love that older woman perspective, man. Take me by the hand and show me, mama. Anyways, I'm done. All right. That's it. I'm done.
Okay. Tell them,
sorry.
Me to you. Oh, my.
Jean, did you say Kel?
I did.
Okay, I was laughing. I was just praying I was on mute because I was laughing so hard. Adam, that was funny. All I can say is go, girl. Yeah, you got it. This is definitely, like Naomi said, it's sassy. She's got, oh, golly, just this really awesome attitude that's, she knows what she wants. She's going for it, just like Laurent was saying, and nothing's stopping her. You know, you're here for now, and that's good enough, but, who knows how long it'll last. So just enjoy it while you can. And I really like this. This is fun. It's a really good piece.
Nice comment. Nice comment. Okay. Now, Naomi, I think you kicked us off on that, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're out by a book. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that brings me back to you, Naomi. And I thought that was a great piece, Martha. Thanks for writing for us. There we go. As always.
Okay. This is the little bean, all these amazing lights. I just wrote something really simple here. So it's called Yum, and I wrote to Vision is the art of seeing things invisible, but I don't see much. This is in my imagination. Okay, so it's called Yum. Apples glisten within a basket, and I have visions of a loving mother's hand, rainbows and unicorns dancing across the lunchbox, tiny distenders, a giggle and a smile, a crunch of sweet delight. Oh, all the things one can see when looking at a simple basket filled with tiny apples and poems.
Nice write, Naomi, really nice write. Lorraine, it brings me to you.
Mute quickly, that would be great. Naomi really found something here because this brevity carries that message. Basically, it's the sweet reward of memories triggered by something in the present that just connects us back. When we were kids, you know, the emotions and the sensations of a child can be so strong in their minds that they'll, you know, it'll just stick there for years and years and years, and then it's there, available on recall sometimes by accident. Oh, bravo there. Paulette, nice job.
Thank you, Donna.
Absolutely agree with that. And Adam, you're up next.
I was hoping you would have went to me first instead of Laurent because that dirty dog stole what I was going to say. Pretty much. He pretty much got it because I love him, though. He's so insightful and deep, but he beat me to the punch because I was going to say, Naomi, my goodness, stop selling yourself so short, dear, because you say it's so simple, but actually in that brevity and the way you actually, the idea, the thought of it is that invisible thing that we're all doing constantly, we're not always aware of, right? That we are perceiving our past and the memories and that which are now invisible, right? They're faded, they're gone. And something so simple as a basket full of apples can bring out such amazing deepness. Like, I was just telling a friend earlier, because she's, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words, and I said a word can be worth 1,000 pictures. Sometimes it's something like that. You know, you see an apple, the physical object could mean a million things to you instantly in your subconscious. It's just about recognizing it. You know, kind of like in, just the aspect of The Giver, that book, The Giver, kind of. I mean, come on, Naomi, that was amazing. It was so, like, hidden, though. See, and that's also, in its way, kind of like that poem in itself is deeper than you realize, kind of like it's a basket of apples, but actually it's so much more. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
So many memories can be triggered by something simple. And that's a wonderful thing. It really is.
Truly.
You know. Just things just spark off memory. A certain smell, a certain look, you know, certain song, certain basket of apples. You know, it's great. Okay, Kel, I'm coming to you.
I really like this. I wrote a very clever and endearing poetry. Memories are a blessing. This is just really a delightful way to write about a memory of being a child and your mother. And, you know, the little lunchbox is just perfect. You know, a giggle, a smile, a crunch. That's just sweet. Yeah, it's just perfect, Naomi. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. It's a great comment, Kel. Yeah, I think it was beautifully penned, Naomi. And I thought it was an excellent reflection of that prompt because, you know, it's the things that are unseen, you know, that come to mind in that poem. And it was just really, yes, just super, super job there. Most excellent.
Thank you.
Now, Lorraine, I'm going to ask you, well, first, Adam, I'm going to ask you, I did not see a poem of yours on the board. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure because I don't want to skip over you. Laurent, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put up a piece by Richard Weissman. I have the SoundCloud, but I wanted you to handle comments after this round for me.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, here's the piece. And here's the button. There we go.
In memory of Willie Mae X by Richard Weissman. Dank basement, wintry morning. My 7, 8, then 9-year-old ass, warmed by tin furnaces' heat. Sweat beads dripped from forehead to cotton-cloaked ironing board as your dark chocolate right hand rough-worked the starched iron hot onto the alligator shirt. Your second-hand tales of toothless antebellum blind women whose eyes were blackened by white stars, blue bars, and stained in blood-muddy south all along Cape Fear. You taught me to love God, called thorny Christ, askew devils, and fear cold-ghosted apparitions. I was raised by a poor black woman from North Carolina, mom-shamed, Shah, though true. And Willie's last name? Who knew? Photos? No. X'd like Malcolm, spite breathing in me still, until, Ms. Wise, these last northern winters to misery. So Willie Mae X, she wobbly, cane-steadied, swept back to Winston-Salem and thorny Christ's people to pass. End poem.
Wow. That's a terrific piece. I like what you think. It's everything. All right. We're going to give Adam a chance to go first.
Well, so... I was almost not chomping at the bit at this one because it just takes my... Yeah, I know, right? What is with this guy? No, it's just that it blew me away. This is that kind of writing that we all want to get to. And it was a real experience, and I'm getting emotional thinking about it. So let's just... It was impressive, beyond impressive. I can't go on anymore. I'm going to gush too much.
No, I understand. And that's understandable because Willie Mae is the woman that raised Richard. And his family didn't know her last name. And they never thought to take her picture. And I think that is particularly sad. Reading this, I felt the crinkly feeling of the prompt as your dialogue and as his dialogue and story followed a well-lit path of excellence. And it really pushed me towards a spiritual appreciation of his words. I thought it was really, really good myself.
Chills.
And Naomi, please.
Oh, this is just... Yeah, like you said, the crinkly feeling up and down your back as he was reading this. Oh, my gracious. This is such superb writing. Like the amazing imagery throughout, the attention to the small details that draws you right into the scene. It's so well worded and so superbly read. It's just like, oh, this is stellar right here. Just a bravo, Richard, for this an honor to have heard this. You read this piece. So, thank you.
Thanks, Naomi. And Cal, how about you, dear?
I'd say Richard paints a picture of this woman probably a little more eloquently than an actual photograph would be. I mean, you can see her, you can hear her, and... You know how much she meant to him personally. You can feel that. And, yeah, I got goosebumps up and down my arms, my legs, my back, everywhere, just listening to this poem. It is just really a beautiful piece.
Thank you, dear. It certainly is. And Pam, please. Is Pam still with us, or did she have to take a breather?
No, she's here. She's got her cell phone hold. She had to step away, I think. That's
all right,
I
no
been.
Problem. I'll say one more thing before I send it over to Jean. If you look at the image, the person pouring the coffee or tea, whatever it is invisible. If you look at the women, then you look at the person pouring, she is invisible. It's as if there was an invisible hand pouring it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an attitude I think we had towards domestics, unfortunately. Jean, back to you.
Okay. Sadly, I had to step away, so I can't say much, except for I know that it was an incredible right because I glanced at it earlier. So, let me see. Where was I going? Oh, I know where I'm going. I'm working the board a little bit differently these days. Yeah. Man. There we go. And the run, it brings me to you. If you would not mind.
All right. And since the prop, every man desires to live long, but no man wishes to be old. Jonathan Swift. This is called Outward Bound. He holds the frayed net swollen with fish against the peel of paint that is his boat. The asymmetry of his hands, gnarled and curled, ache with the effort to lift and reap a dark sea's bounty. His boat rocks against an outflowing tide, testing his balance. Neck of the net twists against his slipping grip. A silver cloud surges beneath him, pulling at the tired strands, holding his catch prisoner. Scales flash below the surface, and a whirling dervish, growing tired, his fingers cramp, seeking release from strain. Shadowed shoreline slips further away, net sliding through defeated hands that hold no feeling. Rheumy eyes blink at sweat, stinging them shut. Vision clears, empty net slowly undulating into the depths, slumping back against the gunwales, breathing heavily. He has lived too long and makes no effort to guide his boat towards shore, letting the tide carry him outward bound and silent. End poem.
Excellent job, Laura. Excellent right. And Adam, that's going to bring me to you first.
Wow. Laurent, wow, man. The metaphor here just of a life in a fishing trip. And it's so well done. We have, you know, visceral imagery that kind of like speaks to the senses. I love the idea of a daily, this man's life, so this was his life, going and, you know, fishing and for his livelihood, what have you. And to tell of his whole life in one, like, moment of it, though, is exquisite. It's beautiful. I really loved it. It's very high level writing and composition. Definitely, it's blew me away, man. Just the end, just no sense in bothering to try to get back there. You know, almost like I was gonna say a satisfaction, maybe to life lived, but I really don't necessarily see that. But maybe that is there, that the acceptance of it. Anyway, I'm done. Thank
no,
you.
No problem. It's that line, he has lived too long. He can no longer fulfill his purpose in life. He's lived past the age where he can almost help himself, if you will, with the job that he has. So you're not...
So it's more, yeah, it's not so much that like an acceptance is defeat.
There's a resignation. It's a resignation.
Great woman.
Great comment.
Nice. Okay, and Kel, that brings me to you.
Well, this reminds me very vividly of a movie I saw not too long ago. I think it was The Old Man and the Sea. Yeah, and, you know, he's chasing his, this big fish, you know, the beast, whatever. But this, you know, yours is just, he's just trying to catch his fish, you know, just, you know, bringing in a catch. You know, that's all he wants to do. But it's just beyond him. And, you know, he's just getting too old. And he accepts that he can't do it anymore. And that's just really, the imagery in this is absolutely stunning. Scales flash below the surface in a whirling dervish, growing tired, his fingers cramp, seeking release from the strain. I mean, you just, there's just so much to this. I think you touch on everything, sight and sound and the feel of the nets and the sweat running into his eyes. It's all just very beautifully done.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you.
I take this opportunity to welcome Wayne to this program.
Hi, Wayne.
Jin Fan. It's a great poem, right? Point.
Thank you, Wayne.
Any comment on it?
Do you want to comment on it? Sure.
Yeah. I said it's great descriptions and emotions in this masterpiece. Old Man at Sea comes to mind. He had a hard existence, and his final day was one of just of surrender. Just let go, and his time was over. Sad, emotional, and touching. Great job with this, Lauren. Good job.
Very kind comment. Thank you.
Very nice job. Okay, and Naomi, that brings me to you.
Yeah, this I was just flabbergasted by this Rites of Beulah hair. And Kel stole my punch there. This was really swept me into the Ernest Hemingway classic of The Old Man and the Sea here. And, you know, I was... all my uncles and my grandfather and my cousins and everything, they're fishermen. And the details you put into this, like casting, you know, on the nets and then bringing them in and then feeling the deceit, you know, because that's what they live, that's their bread, their catch of the day. And, you know, just how they're defeated when the net is empty and everything. So that those details were just so well written in this piece. And it was just a brilliant, clever write and take on the prompt there of using the metaphor, like Adam said, the metaphor of this fisherman, you know, is so clever to portray this, how life takes its toll on an individual. And this is so superbly written throughout. Just bravo, bravo, Laha.
Thank you, Naomi.
Nice comment. Lorraine, I thought this was an excellent piece. A wonderful take on the prompt and wonderful imagery throughout as well. But, it was kind of amazing when I was reading it. I think when you first put it up. I don't remember, so I'm not going to speak on it. But I think you did an excellent job with the piece itself. So wonderful work. Okay. So from the next magic trick, I'm going to put up a piece by Eric Svensson. And it's a magic trick because I was ready for myself. Yes. Okay, here we go.
May the circle remain unbroken. Innuendo circle dance on the periphery. Settle like white egrets on skeletal branches, extracting themselves out of silvery marsh waters. Shape shift chainlings chatter chirp. Settle down as dowager dusk gowns. Erases mice, men, and mountebank furrowed frowns. inkling centipede as the days draw string. Soon night's corset will constrain the remains of the day. Butler determined candles are religiously lit. Whitewashed cottage walls take on a life of their own. Shapeshifters make their presence known. Beneath eaves of ancestral home, dating back to 1918 Spanish flu. Poker pricks prize between glowing embers. Flamed tongues respond, keenly sprint upwards. Pin's nez awaits its master's bidding. Dowager dust changelings will be here soon. Alabaster urn is placed upon round mahogany table. Mere liberal vision quest begins with terms of endearment. Rhythmic even-keel breathing sets the tone. Settles like white egrets on skeletal branches, extracting themselves out of silvery marsh waters. Day no more conclusion to another triacal day. Night's whalebone corset draws strings tighter. Pin's nez is holy grail placed in the left eye. Knuckles on wood, seven swift raps, discourse begins. Savant hums an ancestral tune. Outside low tide does a serene waltz. Salamander, O salamander, reveal thyself. Fire, earth, metal, air, water and blood. Outside, full moon paves a phosphorus way towards a cottage. By these elements, we bind the circle, following the steps of our ancestors. Innuendo's circle dance on the periphery. Inkling centipede up savant's spine as he studies the incantation. When evil assails us, when fear weakens us, when dissent threatens us, in the circle we will find our power. End poem.
Nice. Well, another poem that does not disappoint. I'd like to start with Kel, please.
Thank you, Laura.
No problem.
Me the other night, too.
Come on now, you're a bright woman.
Oh my God. Oh golly. I love his imagery. I really do. Inkling centipede as the day is drawn stringed. Butler determined candles are religiously lit. The detail that he's written into this is just breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. Knuckles on wood, seven swift raps. Discord begins, savant hums an ancestral tune. This is really a very intriguing writing. Very well done, Eric.
Thank you. That was a fine comment, Cal. And Adam, please.
I took Pam's advice.
Adam, your comment, please.
I think he had to step away for a while.
Oh, did he? Okay, I am sorry.
Yeah.
Naomi, please.
Yeah, well, Eric is such a magician of words. I mean, you have everything incorporated into this. You have alliteration. You have such amazing metaphors. The wordplay, it's just packed Well, every write of his is just so full, you know. I just love to sit down with this guy and have a conversation. I think it would be so amazing, you know. Yeah, the lines that stuck out to me is inkling centipedes up Savant's spine as he studies the incantation. And then the way he uses the metaphor, the way he uses to day turning into night there, night's whale bone corset draws strings tighter. Wow, what a, hey, I mean, come on, you know, that is so amazing right there, you know, the way he used that line just to describe, you know, how day is turning into night there. So it's so clever. This is another amazing write by Eric.
Thank you so much, Naomi. I'm not Rex, so I can't jump in here and analyze this line by line by line. He does a great job at that. He's a remarkable commentator. Among others that we have are remarkable commentators. But I see in this a death in the family. I see a ritual. People joined in a circle of praise, in a circle of mysticism. We see all kinds of images like the white ghosts of the egrets landing on skeletal branches to me represent spirits, perhaps of the past. But in naming the elements the way that he does in the last stanza, fire, earth, metal, air, water, and blood, and then the words, by these elements we bind the circle, follow in the steps of our ancestors, beliefs, traditions, life actions of peoples throughout time, throughout history, have followed a set of steps in which homage is paid to the dead, homage is paid to nature, homage is paid to mystical powers. I forget exactly what the reference is to salamanders, but it has to do with magic, woven magic of some kind, I believe. If anybody knows, please let them speak up. But I do see in this that the circle of people supporting each other, I mean, the image is almost a dead giveaway. And it's funny because that image that he's using looks to be anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 years old. So this is something that has really gone on since time immemorial. Beautifully done. It's almost unfair to ask anybody to do a cold read and then analysis of Eric's poetry, because it is so detailed, intricately plotted, that it takes time to appreciate in its fullness the things he's written. All right, I assume we don't have Pam, we don't have Adam temporarily.
Adam's back.
Adam, please come.
Very good. Well, Adam, I'm glad you're back, because I have you lined up for the next read.
All right.
And it's a novella. I'm only kidding. Whatever you want.
Okay. This is Footprints in the Air by Anthony Thomas. Or Stealing the dreams of ego and the power of the words made by the thief of thought and artist of the ink blots, folded by the pen, making pictures on the page. Images on the inward eye, writing graffiti on the walls, define the other sides, the map of what's to come, drawn by the pen, making footprints in the air. Air, formed words leaving footprints on the page, bricks in the wall of dreams, a river flowing invisible in thoughts of streams, blotted by dribbling pen, making egos in an alphabet. End
point. Nice.
Well, this is quite the piece.
Yeah.
Footprints in the air is a beautiful image. Because we say that, well, yeah, how can you leave footprints in the air? Well, you can with words. An artist of the inkbots folded by the pen, making pictures on the page, images of the inward eye. I like what he's done with this. It flows. It's deep, beautifully written. I'm very much appreciative of it. Naomi, please.
Yeah, you touched on a lot there. How ready what I was going to say. This is just a brilliant writer. The way he takes the inner poet's eye and describes all that is rushing through us, or can be rushing through someone's mind while he's writing. He expresses this with amazing imagery. And just such a clever take on that song. Swift there, Jonathan Swift. And I love that last phrase, the last stands air formed, the words leaving footprints on the page, bricks in the wall of dreams, a river flowing invisible and across the stream, blotted by dribbling pen, making egos in and out. And that is fabulous writing right there. So bravo, Anthony, on this right. Share.
Fine comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Kel, please.
Oh, golly, this is absolutely beautiful writing. I agree with Naomi. I love that last stanza. I'm not going to read it again, but it's just so eloquently written and absolutely beautiful wording. Fantastic. You know, just looking back on how a writer thinks is just, and getting his interpretation of that, it's just very beautiful.
Thank you, Cal. Nice comment. And Adam, please.
Yes, sir. So it's masterfully weaved with imagery that is just, and it appeals to all of us, you know, that are poets or writers in a way, but also it circles, like, I know I felt something different than everyone else, kind of. Like, I had an instinct about it as I read it, that it's circling round to, and now I've lost that feeling of it. Because, like, at first, it seems like there's some sort of regret coming back round towards the end in that piercing the deepness of life that, I don't know, about him blotting out what it's like. He's not, the feeling of it's not adequate enough, these mere scribbles almost, you know, and then I like the, you know, just the way the rhythm and all that, and the subtle rhyming, and then just the complete dissonance at the end with the alphabet, complete, like, alphabet, and it didn't tie into any other, and, like, he never mentioned the word previously, and that's dissonance, and I feel like that was purposefully done because of that regret, that it's just stroke, you know, it's just stroking, you know, it's just ego, and it's worthless, and I've been blotting it out now because I've wasted the dream. I've done of a disservice almost. I don't know.
I kind of see what you're aiming at. Bricks in the wall of dreams is good. A river flowing invisible and thoughts of streams is good. But then you have the blotted by dribbling pen, making egos in an
alphabet.
Right,
and it's dribbling, so it's no longer strong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There was something hidden very well at the end there that he kind of was trying to touch on, that he brought us to, you know, with that, because it's very purposely done right there, you know, and the dissonance of alphabet is juxtaposed to everything else that was harmonious about it.
Mm-hmm.
In the flow,
how about the
like
use
a river.
Of the word ego? How about the use of the word ego?
Right, right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. You know? Okay, well, that's a great comment. Thank you so much.
This is great.
Go ahead. All right, Gene, I think it's back to you.
How about come, man? Don't leave me out.
Oh, Wayne, gosh, I'm sorry.
Wayne, yeah, man. Wayne, dude.
I appreciate it. Please go ahead.
This last one, so I thought you were going to jump in on this one. I think you said the footprints of our eight billed eagles in our world. But the picture on the page is what we all live for. It's what we, the picture we paint. And we let the world know where we've been, where we are, and where we want to be. And his graffiti painted a wonderful footsteps in my mind about what he's trying to say. He wonders if what he writes is going to make a difference. So I think what he writes does make a difference. He explained it perfectly. That's where we all want to be, and where we all were, and where we should be. Great job with this.
That's a great comment, Wayne.
Wow,
thank
Wayne.
You so much. And I'm sorry I forgot you were there. You're so quiet and good natured. All right, Gene.
Okay, and let's see. Now I'm going to put up a piece by Richard F. And I'm going to play that on the audio scale over here. Ta-da.
My inner eye that sees but does not see. Shadows shift and shimmer. Shapeless, yet thought-defining. Clouds across the sun give glimmer. Reticent and hesitant, these hopeful, dim and distant rays, evaporating in the summer haze. And in this dark December, sable stormy night, dimly lit with blind derision and damned indecision, grim, insistent, I envision brighter July, jolly summer days. I watch the couples marching, two by two, wordless, staring straight ahead, or silently throwing pieces of their shared loaves, stale bread, to those patient, wayward, bedraggled ducks, and pieces of their hearts to each other, waiting, patiently contemplating on rippled pond. And I see love, real love, straining under the stresses and excesses of many a tortured year. Hopes hidden from the light of day, waiting patiently to emerge some sultry sweltered day into the midsummer Stonehenge sun. Visionaries seize the day, while in the war-torn, battled streets forlorn, guided by a lower power, feral phantoms, fire, pious pistols, the sightless spectres wonder, the blinded beasts that ponder, and struggle to see the beauty that lies within. I shield my half-closed, heavy eyes against the blinding noontime sun, as Hitchcock's lovebirds, their hidden passions, invisible, unseen, masked by all of their external bravado and deathly destruction, lovers caught in between, at the border between sightlessness and blinding revelations, as a world ignites his preposterous pecking order. And somewhere out of sight, on some half-glimpsed horizon, phoenix hopes now rising, the inner meaning remains opaque. And thus Zarathustra spake, whispered words too faint to yet be heard. The ancient dance of pious pagans who spy the inner beauty and vie for position hidden by the stones, who dance and sing in spirit circles, charge their crystals at dawn's early light, waiting, waiting, waiting for the miracle.
Oh, nice read, Richard. What a deep poem. The ancient dance of pious pagans to spy the inner beauty and vie for position. This poem has a lot of elements to it. It would be a pleasure to dissect it. Can we begin with Naomi, please?
Oh, like you said, this is layer upon layer upon layer of just wonderfully worded, just a symphony here of a pure brilliance. I love how he took the time, though, to incorporate the simple of everyday life in the deeper meaning. As in this stanza, I watch the couples marching two by two, wordless, staring straight ahead, or silently throwing pieces of their shared loaf of stale bread to those patient, wayward, bedraggled ducks and pieces of their heart to each other. This is just a brilliant light throughout. And like Laurent, you said, you just have to pick it apart, you know, part by part, to find all those underlying meanings all throughout. This is just such a brilliant part. It's so bravo.
Great comment. Thank you. And Adam.
So I agree with what Naomi said, like 100%. And so there was an interesting thing that happened to me while reading along and listening. I was hit with a sudden rack of, like, intense emotion. I about cried, and this is where it was at. It was when he got personal in it, right? So it's already personal, but to a degree where it's ethereal almost, but there's a part where it's specific. Like, I feel like he was reaching into memory and expressing it at, and I see love. At that moment, I was destroyed inside. And as he continued on, real love, and it's straining under the stresses and excesses, you know, of many a torture. Like, right there, like, this whole stanza destroyed me inside because it was so beautifully I could tell it was personal to him, especially the way he read it. I knew he was reaching into something, and he felt a lament for this frivolous kind of way we fade, and yet, as a society, as time, we, you know, human beings have been here since Stonehenge, right? They're theorizing that it might be the oldest monument around in the world, older than the pyramids of Giza, older than the Sphinx. And, like, and yet we're frivolous, we're just fleeting in, you know. But it really touched me right there because it was, and I see love, and that's what really matters. You know, it was beautiful.
You know, I got nothing to add to that fine comment. We'll have to let Kel do that. Kel, please.
Oh, this is just brilliant. And like everyone said, it's just very deep and profound, and it has so many layers to it. I like the same stanza you pointed out, Adam. And I see love, real love, straining under the stresses and excesses of a tortured year, hopes hidden from the light of day. It's like he's pouring himself into this whole piece. And then he shields my half-closed, heavy eyes against the blinding noontime sun. And he's just, all the way through it, there's just so many images. It's amazing. Very beautifully done.
Yeah, thank you, dear. Yeah, he definitely brings the past into the present with us. It's beautifully written. Jean, please.
Very well. Another wonderful piece by Rich F. He always has incredible imagery and just a wonderful way of writing, and his audios are always impeccable. So great job, Rich F, and thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. We got a lot of poems on this board. I'm sorry. Okay, somebody said something and I didn't hear what it was. So.
Someone said, I'm
forget
sorry.
Wayne.
Oh, did we get Wayne again? All right.
I don't see.
Yes.
Hey, Wayne.
Okay. Hey, yeah, boy, Wayne. Now, this is a wonderful poem about the pain of the time ending, where he says, I'm in December now, and he longs to see the sunny, warm days of July. He's in a place where he wants to be over with, and he just can't get behind him, and he can't get off his mind. And he's dreaming of, he knows Phoenix is coming, the rising of Phoenix is coming, but he's too faint to be heard yet. He's just dying for it to happen, but it ain't happened yet. He's waiting for the miracle. Great, great poem.
And a great comment, too. Thank you, Wayne. Gene?
Okay. Well, Cal, I'm coming to you next. So whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie. With a Naked Eye by Cal Smiles. Stars are aligned high, high, higher. Twinkling lights, millions of miles. Comets swoosh through their flight. Rumbling, rolling asteroids play dice. High, high, higher in midnight sky. All but sight unseen with naked eye. Next door, a man and woman preparing for a day of work, chores, or love sharing. Walls, doors, windows separate in pair. Closed off to prying eyes, avert, staring. Out of sight, out of mind. Outer glaring, all but sight unseen with naked eye. People in the streets, out and about, doing whatever people do to reroute. Going here, going there, some stopped. Sitting, standing, possibly rock, dancing rock, all around the world or around the block. All but sight unseen with naked eye. In the swamps, forests, and jungles heat, wildlife prey searching or retreating, bears scratching their backs on trees, snakes shedding skins, then leaving, animals running, jumping, or leaping, all but sight unseen with naked eye. Everything in its somewhere place, it covers closets, a cubby space, left behind, hidden without a trace, found out later with another's gaze. Lost but may be found, used different days. All but sight unseen with naked eye. End poem.
Nice read. I enjoyed that. Adam, did you want to start us off on this?
Absolutely. This is brilliant. I love the refrain of all but sight unseen and naked eye. And we start up at the heavens and we come to earth, and it's so well of a masterful stroke of just thought imagery. You know, you take us from heaven to earth and to us inside and around. You show us just all the way to the things that we, so all the way into our personalized point of view of what's in that drawer, and it, you know, maybe even discovering something about somebody you just never knew, or it's a long ago person, like you're in the attic or wherever and you find this thing and it's like, what is this? Well, it's not for your eye, it was for someone, that was somebody else's life. And it's about life as we ponder and into the sky and into the night, into the universe and into each other. It was very well done. As you, Laurent, right at the top said, this is enjoyable, has perfect rhythm, perfect rhythming, and just excellent, excellent piece.
Thank you, Adam. I'm particularly struck by the line, ah, but sight unseen with naked eye, because we can look at something and we only see the surface of it. We can't get underneath it unless we're part of it. So the stars doing their thing, comets swoosh the night sky, rumbling, rolling asteroids play dice, the man and the woman next door preparing for a day of work, people in the streets doing whatever it is they're doing, and in the swamps, forests, and jungles, the wildlife does what it does. And again, we can see the surface of it, but we can't really get deeply into it. And I like the way she uses that refrain to illustrate what was going on in each stanza. Nicely done. Kel, please.
That was mine. You want me to comment on my own poem?
Please, the author's insights.
Author's insight. Thank you, Adam. That's what we need. Go ahead, Kel. Tell us about your poem.
Well, I think you pretty much hit on it, Laurent. In each stanza, I was trying to go for what we don't see. It's there, but we don't see it. So there. That's it.
Just want to talk about that piece.
Nice.
Amazing, masterful work.
Yeah.
Wayne, please.
Yes, I almost left that. I said, all we see is nothing compared to what's in the big picture. We're a part of it. We don't understand what the world has to offer. We already stay in our busy days, and without realizing there's so much more happening in the world, we're so limited in our view of it. We're just kind of closed in. And there's a lot out there we can view and enjoy if we just took a time and looked out there and seen it. We just don't go too busy to look at it. Great job with this point.
Nice comment, too, Wayne. Thank you. And Naomi.
Yeah, like Wayne said, that was an amazing comment. I read this earlier, and I sent a comment to Kel. I said, I thought this was a stellar write right here. Her attention to detail throughout this write is just so amazing, like her imagery. And, you know, till she read it, it's so amazing that I didn't even notice that it was a rhyming the rhyme is so perfect. It just flows that didn't even stick out to me. It's just so amazingly well written. And like everybody said, there the repetition of awe but sight unseen with naked eye. This is just superbly written and well worded throughout. Bravo, Kel, on this write. Just awesome.
Thank you, dear. Great comment. And before I turn it back to Jean, I just want to tell Emma and Rex that I appreciate the astute statements they're putting up in the room. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Jean, back to you.
Well, Kel, I thought this was a clever take on the chosen prompt, and I think it's very, very well written. So great job with it all the way through. I'll be looking at everything again when I do the contest. We have quite a few poems. There's two exact ones that I want to get through before the night's over. I have more than that I should get through, but not tonight, sadly. So I'm going to do my best. So, Wayne, whenever you're ready, your piece is up.
Oh, ready? I got the same quote that Laurent had, but I made a little different approach to it. Mine's called Stories to be Told. It was like this. Every man desires to live long, but no man wishes. But old men have fewer desires and plenty of stories to be told. Best part of life is when you look back, you can look back and smile. Young men can't comprehend the satisfaction of a life worthwhile. I have desires, but being young is not one of them. Looking forward to an old age is a goal that's not a problem. It's death that men fear, not the elderly, not being elderly. I wish to forever be old. How many old men do you know that have stories to be told? To accept death is part of growing old, a pleasant part. Longevity is a noble ideal, but good memories satisfy the heart. No man wishes to be old, but they should wish to grow old. For if they live a good life, there'll be stories to be told. Again?
Nice job.
Thanks, Wayne. Wow.
This is a nice one, Wayne. How many old men do you know that have stories to be told? Well, all old men have stories to be told. Because they've lived enough years. They've lived enough years. You ask a young guy for an odd story, he's going to tell you something nutsy. I agree. I'm not sure I accept growing older as easily as you do, though, Wayne. One of those things, you know?
I love it.
I do, too. And Kel, please, would you start us off?
Oh, the stories I could tell.
Oh, see?
Yeah, I really like...
Right now?
Well, let me see here. I was talking to my granddaughter just the other day about a memory that we had together. And it blows me away when she, because she's 20 years old, and she's got her own life going on and everything. And when we can share an experience and a memory, it's just awesome. So, yeah, it's wonderful. But, yeah, I have a lot of stories. I'm 58 years old. You don't go through life without, you know, experiencing stuff. So, yeah, it's cool.
You should be proud of your life, too. You always should be proud of your life.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have nothing much to be ashamed of. A few things, but who wants to live with regret?
With candor.
Thank you, Kel. And Wayne, before we go on, I got to say your image, the gray hair says old, but that sternum says very young. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, please.
So, Wayne, I can't believe I've not, you know, come across your work, and now I'm following you because I need to know more about you as a writer, as a person. Like, when I first heard you comment on somebody else's work, I was like, this guy is different. He gets right to it. He's concise. He dives, cuts like a katana into things. And what I loved most about this, and it really touched me personally, like I felt emotion. Like at first I'm listening like, this is wisdom. Right away I'm like, this is wisdom from the top. But it was the acceptance, the happiness of growing old is good. I don't want to be young, and I feel the same way. I'm 37. Or should I say only 37? Dare I say that? But
yeah.
I don't want to be 18 again. Screw that. Like, I'm happy to be old and experienced to where I am at this point, at least. It's good
right.
to grow old, man. And you really touched, like, you cut right to it. And when you can find the acceptance of not to be enfeebled or to die, but to be experienced and had lived a life and stories to tell. And, man, this is great. I loved it.
Thank you. Yeah, I just turned 68, so I'm right there with you.
Bravo, man. And the picture I thought was interesting too, like Laurent had mentioned but I was more drawn to his look, not the body, not the look of the body, his face, that he's satisfied. He's
right.
happy. He's like you can tell he's wise, experienced. He keeps himself trim. He's together. He's probably lived a life where he keeps in shape, obviously, and he knows about continuing to work to keep yourself going, to stay alive, because you want to live, because that's about what it is. You want to live. I want to live to be 110 centurion. Yeah, I might sleep for 4 days straight, but hey, it's good
Enjoy
to be alive.
Enjoy my memories. I'm going to be old forever.
Thank you very much, Adam. And I got to say, that looks like Zeus to me. I can imagine Zeus. That's who that is.
Yeah, classic Zeus or God.
My ego.
Yeah. All right. Let me see. Naomi, please.
Yeah. Well, I think everything has been said. I read this poem earlier, and I commented to Wayne how awesome I thought this piece is. Really deep and with lines of wisdom, and I so enjoyed it. And the line that stuck out to me was longevity is a noble ideal, but good memories satisfy the heart. So I think that says it all there. And just a wonderful pen here, Wayne. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi.
Nice comment, Kel. Thank you. Jean Marie.
Wait, what?
And that was
like
Naomi.
Oh, dude.
Anyway, Wayne, I think you did a great job with this. And, you know, everybody pretty much, you know, said it all. But I thought it was well done. I thought it was a great take on the prompt.
Correct.
And,
I appreciate it.
And the image, I like his hair. I'm out of there.
Stay away
from
those.
I'm
out of there. That's me. Who I dream to be when I get older.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now, Laurent, I have the next one up for you. Okay. Here we go.
This is by Omega AM. I envy a life once full. The gray sky, redolent, flickering luminosity of silence, winds of the seas play amid from the skies. Thoughts start to unravel, the monotony of days entombed against the sweeping citrus fruit sky. Up in the air, up in a fair shoreline, I allow my mind to wander, where the solitude of life is my reflection upon the boardwalk these nights long. Rays appear at dawn, the purity of lines with illusions on the ethereal sails, the aria thinner with every breath. Resit the weariness of Earth's kind breast, the air unhurried, the silhouette of this road. Thoughts are within, time is absent, nothing but shadows, and yet, end poem.
Nice, nice read.
Okay. Naomi, please.
Yeah. This is such a, I found it a deep, moving piece. It's so eloquently worded. It's just sublime in the flow and the wording. And I was totally immersed into every line, just left breathless, waiting for the next one. It's just such a beautiful write this. And the line of resit the weariness of Earth's kind breath, the air unhurried, the silhouette of this road. Thoughts are within, time is absent, but nothing but shadows. And yes, it's just an amazing ride all through. It's beautiful. So bravo, amazing.
Thank you, Naomi. And Wayne, please.
I think this is a wonderful poem. It's like the day's come to an end. She's had a long word out day, but she has hopes that she's settling in for the night, and she has hopes for tomorrow. It's going to be a better day, and she still believes that tomorrow is going to be a better day. She says, raise the prayer at dawn, the purity of lines with illusions on the ethers itself. It's just the way she said it. It's beautiful, and she's looking at the tomorrow with a hope, with hope in her eyes and dream in her eyes, and she talks about the earth, resist the awareness of the earth's kind breath. She's tired, and she's worn out, but she still has hope for tomorrow being a better day. Great point.
Nice comment, Wayne. Thank you. And Adam.
So it was, a lot of it's been said of what I feel. It's amazing, beautiful, the expression, the imagery. I feel it makes me feel a certain emotion that's hard to place. Maybe it's because I'm tapping into her or whoever, Omega. Omega's a great writer. I recommend reading a lot more of their writing, by the way. And the most profound thing I feel comes yet again, which so many great poets do, is the way they end it, which can almost tell you what's going on. Like, she's guiding us through an ethereal float of her or this person's inner world, you know, and how they perceive what it is all around them, and it's like it's fleeting, and with that last line, and yet what? And yet it's not. And yet it's beautiful. And yet we're here. And yet it's all around us. And we can just soak it in. And that's how I felt in this. I felt suspended. And yeah, I felt I was suspended in this person's mind. Mm-hmm. And it was just, wow.
Thank you, Adam. And Cal, please.
Ready?
Tell my peers.
Unmute.
Uh-huh.
Oh dear.
Oh yeah. There was one. Okay, yeah. Up in the fair shoreline, I allow my mind to wander, where the solitude of life is my reflection upon the boardwalk. These nights long,
It's just really good. It's, to me, in a way, it has a reminiscence to it. You know, someone standing on the shoreline, and they're just in really deep thought, you know. Thoughts are within, time is absent. Nothing but shadows. And yet, life goes on. You know, everything goes on. You know, no matter what happens now, you know, there's always going to be something else. I thought this was a very beautiful poem.
Great comments by everybody on this poem. I want to say, I was looking at the title, I Envy a Life Once Full. Now, the poem doesn't really seem to reflect that that person had a full life. We have the monotony of days, the solitude of life being his reflection, the purity of lines with illusions, and he resists the weariness of Earth's kind breast, the air and heart, the silhouette of this road, in other words, the silhouette of his journey through life, and time is absent. It kind of stands still for him. Nothing but shadows, and yet, there's a significant pause there at the end, of course, but I don't see a life once full. I almost wonder whether the person is envious of someone who had a full life as opposed to him. It's one way of interpreting it, perhaps. Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, I think that this was a great piece. As I said before, I'll be looking at them again before I judge the contest. Now, Naomi, I'm going to ask you to squeak one in for us.
Okay. This is by Casey Day. Time trickles onward and our bodies bloom then wilt. We leave behind seeds.
Great job. Okay, Laurent, comments are on you. We got plenty of time. Not, but we got it.
60 seconds, right? Yeah, I didn't even see the dark poem. All right. The time trickles onward and our bodies bloom. Then wilt we leave behind seeds. And we do. Imagine an orange that shrivels what's left is the seeds. So me, I, like an orange, shall shrivel and leave behind seeds as well. It's beautifully written. It makes a lot of sense. Back to you.
I told you to go ahead and get comments. Okay, Adam, you want to comment on this piece?
Well, we're looking at midnight. I'm sorry.
Okay. Did you say Adam? Oh, we got to end the show? What's going on?
No, the show won't close until, you know, it's over. But I figured we could get comments.
Okay. All right, cool. So succinctly done. What I think of the seeds of, you know, as your relatives, your what you leave behind, you know, your family or whatever, that carries on when you're gone. Just, interestingly, it's just good. It's a nicely done metaphor for life. Just can continue.
Thank you, Adam. And Naomi?
Yeah, this is so deep in wisdom for so few words. Indeed, we all return to seeds for our future generations and all living things so that they can bloom. So bravo, Casey. It's wonderful brevity here.
And Cal, please. Thank you, dear. And Cal, please.
I agree with everyone. This is very beautiful and full of immense wisdom for one so young. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, dear. And Jean, back to you.
How about Wayne?
Oh, Wayne. Geez, again. I'm sorry. Wayne.
Wayne.
Like me. I got this point was, you know, our footprints show the world where we've been, and our seeds show us how we progressed. And that's what I get out of this. Is we always leave our seeds behind and our footprints behind. And it says where we've been and what we learned. Great point.
Thank you.
It was an excellent piece by Casey. Very well written. There's a lot of truth in those few words. So think it was an excellent job. And everybody who was not read tonight, I want to say we're going to carry them over to Friday. And we have a few. We have a few. So if you didn't hear your piece, you know, go check out the Friday board. You'll see if it's there. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for spending the night hanging out with us all. Naomi, once again, welcome aboard. Adam, thank you. Kel, thank you. Wayne, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys joining us from the beginning of the show and hanging in as long as you did. That's always awesome. Yeah, it is
my pleasure. Love poetry and love being here.
Nice. Well, hope to hear more from you. And thank you, Pam, for co-hosting, and you too, Naomi. It was wonderful. It was a pleasure, and, you know, it'll, things will be better and better as we go along. Next week's Naomi's first show.
Yeah, you all have to. There's a few spots left. I think there's like 3 spots left. So somebody wants to get a write-in.
Wait, what is it?
You already have a write-in, Adam.
Oh, dang. I'm so everywhere. I'm everywhere all the time. I'm like pulled everywhere out of every direction. I don't know. I just want to miss a thing, I guess. I don't know.
It's the art of Sam Sackoff there. The art, the little pictures, the funny.